The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome
to Clare Island Cassettes,
here on Fresh FM. Our guest is about to be cast away
to Clare Island.
As they hurry to pack a suitcase, they may choose five pieces of music. Five pieces that in some way soundtrack their lives. Music that may shed light on who they are, where they've been and what they've come through. Let's hear their story and their music.
All aboard!
Right, this is Kieran on Clare Island Cassettes, and opposite me today is Ruben, who's come in to Fresh FM studio, and he's going to pick five tracks that are going to soundtrack his entire life today.
Something like that.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for being here.
It's a bit of a grey, miserable day out there, so we have the luxury of being in here and being able to listen to some music today, so I'm looking forward to your choices.
Same here, actually. I'm sort of going a bit nervous from the ones
That's
I picked,
all right.
But
no,
I think we'll be okay.
There's no panic. We'll tip through it.
Cool. Do you want to hit me? Shall I hit you with the first?
Let's get straight into it.
Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah. Go for it. You call it out, and I'll stick it on here.
Okay. So the first song will be "Old Man" by Neil Young. Now, do you expect explanations behind these song choices? We talk about that afterwards, do we?
Well, we can get it on, and then we'll come back and have a chat.
Cool. Sounds good.
Right. This is Ruben's first choice, Neil Young with "Old Man," and this is from Harvest. So sit back and enjoy this, and we'll be back right after it and have a chat about why it's on the list.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I
Old Man, Neil Young, choice number one.
Love it.
Yeah, good tune. Good tune.
Yeah.
So, tell me the gist of the story behind that choice.
Where
does that start?
Actually, when you spoke or when you asked about doing this podcast, without even thinking, I knew that this would be the first song.
Okay.
Like, I didn't even have to think about it.
That says something about that song then.
Definitely. So, slight bit of background from me is that relatively religious sort of a upbringing family. So,
okay. In Nelson?
Yeah. And so we got like a piano and guitar in the house and that sort of a thing. But like even now, never once in my life have I ever heard the radio. Like we've never put the radio on in my house. It's not happened.
Right.
And so from growing up, I've never had any of influence. You know, like kids always say, oh, mum and dad used to listen to this. So I like whatever, whoever it might be.
Okay.
And so I never...
Those records were around or that tape was around.
Totally. And that's just what they were playing. Okay. And so never... That was not a thing in our house.
Okay.
But I remember this.
But there was music, obviously, if there's
like there's a piano or something like that. Like, you know, mum played piano, sisters, a few of the family can definitely do it.
Okay.
But it wasn't from a radio sort of a sense or LP, whatever. And so I remember this specifically because I remember when you went from dial up to whatever, broadband. And we had a little study, little office downstairs, computer was down there. And I remember going onto YouTube, and I don't actually know how I got to listening to music at all or how I even got onto this song. I have no idea. But I remember hearing this song for the first time, and it sounds a bit cliche, a bit odd, I suppose. But for me, it was like the first time I actually heard music.
Yeah.
Like everything else, you just sort of, you know... Yeah, it's the first time I really listened to it, and I thought, man, what is this? Yeah, like there was just like this door opened up to something that I hadn't actually experienced before, and I think I was 16 at the time.
Okay.
And just sort of, I don't know, ever since I did that, and that's really when I started like thinking, oh man, this is cool. And then suddenly you just go on to, because you know how algorithms, whatever works, so suddenly you sort of go through Clapton, and you've got, you know, all sorts of kind of branches from that. But I just always remember that being the first time I heard something, and I thought, wonder what is this?
What a place to start.
Yeah.
And was that like, because obviously early days internet, maybe not as algorithm driven.
Probably not.
This was just something random. Neil Young in your mind or anything?
I don't remember that.
It's just what you remember hearing.
I just remember clicking it, and I know the video. It's the live video of him just singing the song, and I just had never heard it before. And that was it. No one had told me. No one had said anything. So I don't know, like...
I don't know,
you never really know what I don't remember what I was cognitively doing at the time. But I just know I went onto YouTube and then somehow I'd clicked onto that song. And because I don't think I couldn't have typed it in. I didn't know who Neil Young was.
Right.
So I don't
know if
it was just there and I couldn't tell you. But
that's
the first time I heard of something that I hadn't heard before, and you're like, I've heard, you know, music before.
It's
like whatever on the radio when you go to the supermarket or shops or whatever. But this was like the first time that I actually sat there and watched him play and like listened to him, and I just thought, man, this is crazy. What is this? Yeah. So that was the first it's cool.
Cool song. Cool first song.
Yeah, it's not a bad one to stumble onto.
No,
you know,
no, it's not at all.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So God bless the internet.
Yeah, thank you, YouTube.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's it. So that was when? That was back?
It would have been about 2006, maybe 2005, 2006, yeah.
And that album is 1972.
Yeah. So
that's random, man.
Trickled its way, you know.
And like from that then, are you thinking, right, is YouTube, do you start to go and buy music, or are you using YouTube more for that? Is that what that becomes?
No, like the first time I actually bought music, I think it's when I went to Australia and I had a truck. I was there for a couple of months and I sort of thought, I need to do something. There was a truck there that I was using for work, and I thought, I'll just go shopping one day. And I went and bought a few CDs. I think one was Kings of Leon, one was The Killers. One might have been Red Hot Chili Peppers. They were just the one, you know, whatever was in the rack that was on sale or something like that. It wasn't even specifically chose. And I thought, I just need to listen to something. So that was actually the first time I'd bought music.
Okay.
So I guess from like first hearing, I think it was LimeWire. Do you know
LimeWire? Yes. So I remember getting stuff off LimeWire in college.
So like I do still actually have a hard drive. Then I sort of was like, oh, I like this band, I'll download everything, you know. And so, you know, I've got an old hard drive that probably still works. And I'd say it just has bands that I thought, I like that, so I just like everything. So it wasn't so, at the time, I just sort of just started really liking music and I wasn't very as specific, so to speak.
Okay.
I just knew I liked it. And so I just, and I guess as you get on and as you listen to more music, you sort of can be a little bit more picky and choosy instead of liking, you know, all 12 songs on someone's album. You might be like, I really love these four and the other ones don't speak to me so much.
More discerning taste.
Exactly.
Right.
And so then was just like, I'll just get everything.
Right. LimeWire. That's funny. Well, I suppose that was the beauty of it. You could, especially if you're like going into the sweet shop going, I want them all.
I'll
go back through them later, but I want them all now.
I should really have a look and go back through the hard drive. I have done definitely. Since, and there's some that are sort of...
they might even be dated. You might even get to see, that was the early.
They probably would be, actually. They may be dated. Look. I wonder, I should go and have a look. There's clear, some on there that I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is not my music anymore, but it's cool.
Because I definitely, in the same boat, I have some like that, some LimeWire songs.
Yeah.
And it's a long time since I looked at that list.
And there's
some stuff you're going, I wouldn't have listened to that since then.
Totally.
But I can see why I liked it back
then.
There was
something about it at the time. Even on Spotify.
Yes.
You go back to your older songs. Sometimes I listen to things and I think, crikey, I don't know what, I'm not sure what I was thinking at the time, but
it's there.
Yeah, I liked it for some reason.
There was something going on.
But it's a good way to cull through the library too. I just flick it on to it's scheduled to go all through your songs. And if you're in the car and if you like it, cool. And if you don't, delete it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah,
try and sort of cull through
it. Yes, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Right. Well, I am intrigued now because that was nice. That was a good choice and a cool story to back it up.
There we
go. Kind of frames sets us off.
Yeah.
So we're heading for the Clare Island. I don't know if you know where Clare Island is, but it's a beautiful island off the west coast. So these are five songs you're going to have to sit with now for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
You're happy with that first one?
I'm definitely happy with that choice.
It's in the suitcase. Right. Where are we going next?
So we're going to go, it's going to be totally different here. So the other thing is I didn't want to just pick, you know, it's, as we sort of said just before we started recording, you know, it's like, man, how many songs do you really pick? What are you going to do? It can actually, you know, start to get quite complicated,
very,
I suppose. And
very.
So the next song, which is totally different to this, from Fat Freddy's Drop, which is Wairanga Blues. Also, great song. And to be fair, I almost love every song from them. So I could almost download all their albums. Not that I download anymore.
Right. What album is this on?
It's off. Let me just. So the song's Wairanga Blues.
Oh, yes. Well, there's an album Wairanga here. Then, so I'm guessing it's on the.
And that'll be like.
Right. Let's get
fifth
that
song
on.
In.
This is Fat Freddy's Drop. This is choice number two. Ruben, he's in Studio One here on Fresh FM, and we're going through the five he's going to bring to Clare Island. Formerly Aran Island Cassettes, but we've had to rebrand already, four shows in. Right, enjoy this. Thank you. Rhythm and Blues, Fat Freddy's Drop. That was Ruben's second choice. And tell me more.
Well, I don't know. There's something about Fat Freddy's Drop that I really love. And I said before, you know, like I used to pick a, almost pick a band and download everything from them. And then, you know, looking back, I'm sort of like, oh, I don't really like that. But Fat Freddy's seemed to be one of these sort of bands that I pretty much like every single song that they have done. I love that you can, as we sort of just talked about, right, you can play it when you're in the morning, you can play it when you're cleaning, when you're cooking, when you're driving. Everyone loves it. It's sort of...
there's a groove to it you can get into.
Yeah, certain groove to it. There's a little bit of funk to it.
There is.
I'm a big fan of Joe Dookie's voice. Okay. I think that a lot of it's quite wholesome as well.
Yeah.
But I just like that it's super easily listening and, you know, definitely seeing them live is sort of mentioned one of my favourites. Yeah. I don't like to go to a gig and I'm not a dancer. It's just not, it's not what you want to see. Okay. It's not good. But I like to groove.
Okay.
And I think these guys are great. Cause
they give it, they open up a bit of space, don't they, for all those non-dancers.
You can kind of like move and not move at the same time and you feel like you're part of it, which is cool. And I just, I like, just love how they put together their music. So big fan.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool. Like we were saying, we were talking off air there while the track was playing. You've probably seen them a good bit. I've seen them twice. Now, two different settings, and that kind of lent itself to a slightly different experience of them. But I'm glad I've seen both because.
Would you see them again?
Definitely, I like them. I always have. And I think, like we said, it depends on the venue, the event, who else is there, what kind of a buzz is going on.
Makes a huge difference, you know.
But they have something to them. There's something I've always liked about them.
They've been doing it for so long.
That's it.
Like, they've just been doing it for so long. And even if you go back to some of their really, really old stuff, they've got, you know, Live at the Matterhorn, which is like, I mean, I think those songs are like 20 minutes long.
And it's
different. Like, it's a different Fat Freddy's. But you can really see sort of where they'd come from. And it's obviously similar in the nature of how they actually make their music, but they've just fine-tuned a lot of things. And, you know, particularly Live at the Matterhorn, you can hear Joe Dookie's basically just riffing. You know, like he's just sort of singing random lyrics and whatever. I don't know. There's something really cool about that that I like, and you can see over their albums how they've sort of not necessarily – like changed, they've fine-tuned, which I guess is slightly changed, and added people into the band.
Found
and
their
whatnot,
sound, maybe.
But but they've kept that same sort of, you knew what they were going for, and it's just kind of been tweaked along the time. So yeah, big fan.
And like that, they're successful. They're traveling around the world. They're touring all year round
with their family.
Right.
Yeah, they do that. I think, you know, like that must be one of the only ways you could make that even plausible if you've sort of, you know, to go on tour constantly, I suppose it'd be very difficult. But they, as far as I'm aware, their whole family basically goes and lives with them, which is cool. So very like family orientated, which is another cool thing again about those sort of gigs is like, I love going to an all ages gig. I really like the energy where there's like kids running around and whatever, mum, dad, everyone's there having a good time and people aren't getting too sloshed, but they're there having a good time. So, I like the...
There's a good buzz to them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because they've been to Ireland now and anytime I'm talking to anyone at home that might be anyway interested, I'm saying, get down and see them. They're good. They're good. Well worth seeing. Like,
you have a good time.
You're right. So that's... They're kind of... they're a good representative of that Kiwi music. And the way they...
Particularly the consistency of it.
They're around a while now, like, aren't they? Kind of Wellington-based. Came out of that.
Yeah, I think Christchurch and then, Wellington.
But they're like, they're over 20 years. Are they
25, I think, 25 around years? That, something like that. And, you know.
Still sounds good.
Yeah, still sounds great. And I believe, as far as I'm aware, the actual name of the band comes after a type of LSD from back in the day called Fat Freddy's Drop. You know, not advocating for that at all, but that was as far as I'm aware. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, good. I'm glad a name like that carries something then. That's good.
It's got to help.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Yeah.
Right.
Song number three. Okay.
What are we hitting for?
Let's go Weight of Love by the Black Keys.
Weight of Love by the Black Keys. Very good. Right.
That's nice. Chill, sort of a bluesy.
2014.
Yeah.
First track on an album called Turn Blue.
Perfect.
Let's get it on. the Black Keys. And that was Weight of Love. And that was Ruben, who has kindly joined me in Fresh FM studio on a wet, miserable day in Founders.
It's quite a good song.
As the world passes us by, yeah. The Weight of Love, the Black Keys. And we were just talking about the Black Keys. And not really. Well, they were indirectly being spoken about. And we got on to Bobby Fingers. And I would encourage you to check it out.
Yeah.
It's very good.
So just slightly off topic. Well, what is a diorama?
Well,
what's the actual...
That's a good question. To me, it is a model of something, maybe. Right. I don't know exactly, but I remember hearing the term first in The Simpsons.
Right, okay.
Because either Lisa or Bart had to make one for school.
Yeah, okay.
So like it was a small model of a scene, maybe. Like the nativity would be, they'd be dioramas.
Yeah, gotcha.
That'd be the only kind of reference I'd have.
Yeah.
But Bobby Fingers blows dioramas off the scale. It was the lads, the Black Keys, two of the Black Keys lads were on Joe Rogan and they couldn't remember. One of them knew about the dioramas and was trying to explain to Joe Rogan about it, but couldn't remember Bobby Fingers. So Bobby Fingers went on and made a diorama of Joe Rogan's podcast with the two boys on there.
I'm going to have a look at this.
As far as I know, he lost the SD card with all the footage of him making this. He lost it.
Oh, right.
So he had to go back and make a second one. It's
20
crazy.
Minute long videos, did you say?
20, 25 minutes, yeah.
Obviously sped up, but I'd love to know how long it takes to make.
Oh, man,
one of these
honestly,
things.
The work is just, a boat in the shape of Jeff Bezos's head, full size, like.
Yeah.
But also a direct, like, it's honestly.
I'm going to look more into this.
Yeah, this is good.
It makes the song even more fascinating.
Exactly. Well, that's where, look where it's brought us. I think the first one was possibly Michael Jackson or Mel Gibson. Oh, no. He did one of Steven Seagal.
Classic.
Shitting himself. Fighting Jean something was his name?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme, is it?
It was another stuntman from Hollywood back in the day.
Gotcha.
And the two of them had a bit of a face-off.
Yeah.
And it's just, honestly, it's just wild.
I'm not sure I want to go up against Steven Seagal. He's very...
Well, these two boys were both martial arts
actually
experts.
Steven Seagal. It has music as well, I believe.
Has
I
he?
Think he's got some, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if it's an album, an LP. There's definitely songs.
Okay.
In fact, about 6 weeks ago, for some reason, I got onto this.
Okay.
We should, maybe once, I wouldn't put this in the five.
okay, not yet anyway.
I'm taking this to the island. I'll show you. It's pretty good.
Okay.
So the man that can do it all, eh?
Right.
I reckon
he's got the
movies. Chuck Norris to run for his money. So,
I think it was possibly a few of his later movies where he was obviously getting a bit more portly and old.
Yeah.
And the running scenes, they used to cut them really badly.
Because
he'd run in those multi-story car parks on a chase scene with a big heavy jacket on.
Yeah.
But they'd cut it that he didn't have to do much running. Like it never looked quite right. You knew what they were doing. But no one was going to say it to him.
No, I wouldn't dare. No. Steve
right.
to go.
Well, I mean, in fairness, we should probably go back to the Black Keys and Weight of Love and... We got caught on a Bobby Fingers tangent there, but
good tangent.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll enjoy it. But yes, back to the song, Black Keys.
I always enjoyed the Black Keys. I like the sort of simplicity of it, and I like that sort of old school, sort of a bluesy sort of approach that obviously they keep, particularly on their sort of first sort of few albums. It's changed a wee bit. I'm not a huge fan of when everything sounds too polished, which I think is something that you hear so much now. You can just, you know, when every single note and everything is in time, and then it sounds like it's run through this computer and just been so fine-tuned that it's immaculate. And I don't actually know if that's doesn't seem to be what our ears actually like. Mm. But for some reason, in more recent years, that's been quite a push in how people make music. And so
using the technology to have it squeaky.
Yeah, whereas like, you know, you can hear, I prefer it when you can just hear stuff that's not immaculate, not perfect. You know, you can hear it in particular artists where it kind of sounds like they recorded things from a garage, and they did that.
Garage rock.
But it sounds great. And it sounds really, really good. And not so much that I put Weight of Love into the category of like, you can definitely hear blemishes and that sort of a thing, but I'd say I'm a big fan of Black Keys' earlier stuff for that reason. And then they sort of have definitely fine-tuned things a wee bit, but I'd sort of prefer that sort of a slightly... a bit more raw and you know, I love the... big fan of the solos that he's got going on in there, and like a bit of double tracking on the guitars sounds quite cool. A big fan. It sounds pretty simple. It's bluesy. It's nice to listen to. Okay. Yeah, so that would be why.
And do you play music?
Yeah, I try to.
Okay, what do you play?
Guitar was my first instrument, and I've sort of bought a keyboard to kind of help with music theory, and so now I like to play a little bit of keys and that sort of a thing, but not very well on that. It was predominantly bought to help with music theory mostly, but I love the sound, and it's also quite a, it seems like it's a lot easier than say, I, at least personally anyways, to sort of sit down with a guitar and harmonize your voice and come up with vocal sort of a lyrics and set your vocals to your guitar, whereas with piano it's a lot easier in the sense that you can sort of sustain the chords and the notes a little bit longer, and so you can kind of get a bit more of an idea of where you want something to go. So as far as like drafting an idea or something, I think piano or keys is a really nice way to do it. So I'm slowly getting more into that at the moment. Love music. And so I'm playing trying to do fun. It myself. What's that, sorry?
You're playing for fun and trying to learn and trying to...
Yeah, well, I'm actually fortunate enough, like, not, I can't take the credit, but with a group of guys, we've sort of almost completed a full-blown recording studio.
You mentioned this to me, yes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it looks amazing. We've had a pianist in there last night, and a couple of the guys were doing some videos, getting all the sort of audio and video kind of stuff going as well, which is really amazing. And sort of the studio's almost complete. And so, yeah, had this pianist here. I don't know, he's here for 6 months, goes back to England for 6 months, and so they kind of grabbed onto him and said, do you want to come play some piano? And so they did that, and so the studio's slowly getting started now, and I think that'll be a really great opportunity to sort of, you know, keep going down that journey of making music, really. Cool. So yeah, it should be very cool.
Right, what's the studio called? Has it got a name?
Well, yeah, we're sort of Studio 7010, so 7010 being the postcode for Nelson. And you don't really, I don't know. You can get kind of funky with all that sort of stuff, but then you also don't want to be too pretentious either, and you kind of just want it to be kind of simple. And it's like, sweet, Studio 7010.
And if you want people to find it,
yeah, exactly.
It's in the name.
Exactly. So, you know, you can't miss it now.
Yeah, there's a pragmatism to it too.
Exactly.
Very good.
Yeah.
And did you mention to me, or was it someone else mentioned, that there used to be a studio there?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
previously.
Yeah, so when I took over the building, that was a recording studio.
Okay.
And sort of had to remove it for what I'm doing. So it sort of dissipated a wee bit. And,
right.
And then since then I had it as a jiu-jitsu studio and a yoga studio. And then I sort of thought I want to do something different. And just talking to friends, and we were like, oh, you know, they came back to me after a while and were like, oh, should we do a studio? And so we've sort of gone back. So it's gone full circle.
Right.
Back to being a studio. But it's definitely, now it's been done to quite a high quality.
Okay.
So really looking forward to, you know, once it's fully finished. But I mean, even now it's pretty amazing as to the difference from what it was to what it is now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's funny. Used to live in that space as well. Right. Before it was any of that. So it's quite funny to see the, you know, where it's kind of gone now.
Very good.
Sounds
cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not have one in Nelson?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing else like it.
Yeah.
There was another studio, but they closed. As far as I'm aware, they did. They're sort of pretty close to the airport, and you could hear planes fly over. So you sort of have to remove that from the recording. So it's a bit of a dud one, that one.
Okay.
But as far as I'm aware, there's basically nothing like it. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah. Get people through the door and get people in doing whatever.
Yeah, totally. They'd have jam nights and have songwriting nights. Just, you know, for me personally, it's just like I don't know much about any of this stuff, but I'm really interested in it. And try and surround yourself with people that know a lot and are a lot better. So it's a good opportunity for that. And it should be fun to see what comes out of it.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
see who comes through the place and what they're up to.
I'm very excited for that.
Keep pressing record.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep that button.
Cool. Right, where are we going next?
Well, our fourth song will be If I Had a Tale by Queens of the Stone Age.
Let's get that lined up here.
Also difficult to figure out which Queens of the Stone Age song I want to play, but do love them, so.
Dot, 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 like clockwork is the album.
It's one.
And the fourth track on there is the one we're going to get on for Ruben as he gets near the end of his suitcase packing for Clare Island. This is If I Had a Tail. You're listening to Kieran and Ruben on Clare Island Cassettes.
Check it.
If I Had a Tail. That was your choice from Queens of the Stone Age. Good tune. We probably, what's happened now is we've gone off talking while these songs are on. I'm probably not giving it my full attention, but it's one I've heard before.
Yeah.
And tell me why it's on the list to go in the suitcase.
I mean, Josh Homme, the singer, guitarist of Queens, is just one of my favourite musicians, I think. And like, there's a lot of Queens of the Stone Age songs that I feel like I could probably pick, which is you know,
that's the hard task, isn't it?
Like, is, you know, and there's always been something about Queens of the Stone Age where I really love that band, one of my favourite bands.
Okay,
and sometimes I listen to it, and I'm not entirely sure why that is, but there's just something that pulls me back into that music,
right.
And there's definitely things I 100% know that I like. I really love Josh Homme's style of his solos in there. It sort of is, and the way he does things, there's like a little bit of this sort of a swag to it, which I quite like. And I've seen them live a couple of times now, and we'll definitely go again. Like, they're right. Very, very cool to go see live as well. But there's just something about the music that I just keep getting pulled back into. And I particularly like Josh Homme, which is a huge part of that.
Right.
Like, he's done some really cool things within music. You know, he started the Desert Sessions where, you know, basically Palm Beach, what it's called, in the States where he grew up, he basically bought, as far as I'm aware, bought a house and kind of turned into a recording studio and got all these different artists from around the world or friends, whatever, to come, and they just hang there for the weekend and just play music and make music. And so that's where Desert Sessions comes from.
Okay.
And so when you listen to some of the Queens of the Stone Age songs, a few of them are from that as well. And right. I just love the idea that, you know, that's just someone that's in there getting all his coolest friends together, making music. And I think that's really cool.
Right.
And then, you know, he did his the three-piece with John Paul Jones and Dave Grohl. And now, funnily enough, the name has just totally gone above my head. Do you know the band that I'm talking about? They've only done one album. It's... and I'm so gutted. I missed it when they came here. One of the songs, Bandoliers, if you want to Spotify it, and you can see it come up. I can't believe I've forgotten the name. Classic. Has it come up? Bandoliers?
The Bandoliers.
Oh, Them Crooked Vultures. Have you listened to Them Crooked Vultures at all? Oh, boy. Such a great, they've only done one album, it's just the three piece. I think they got this another guy on there, perhaps Alan Johannes, to do some other stuff as well. But if you've not listened to the
No, I haven't. Them Crooked Vultures, right.
Yeah, definitely listen to it. It's just like a mega three piece. Dave Grohl's on the drums, John Paul Jones on the bass, and then Homme on the guitar. Very, very cool.
Right.
You should definitely listen to that. Now I'm gutted I didn't pick one of their songs.
Well, we could always maybe finish with one. You know, there's the rules are loose in Fresh FM. It's like community radio, don't worry.
There's no
Do whatever
rules.
We want.
But yeah, thanks. Big right. fan. Big right. fan of Josh Homme. Just love what he does. I mean, even the album that he did with Iggy Pop, Dance Pop, what was it called? It was Post Pop Depression. Really cool. So if you listen to like the Post Pop Depression album, you can just hear Josh Homme's guitar in there. You know, like, he's someone that's got his style, and you know that it's his style, and it just, yeah.
But like Mark Knopfler, when you hear him, you know it's him.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you just know exactly who you listen to. So, that was why I picked.
Very good. Well, you seem to be drawn, as an aspiring guitarist, you seem to be drawn to these lads that can play these solos.
Like, they're not the best, you know, like, if you listen to people who actually play, you know, like...
But there's something, you're drawn to them for some reason.
There's something about those ones, you know, like, it's not like they're the fastest, it's not like they're the cleanest, there's nothing like that, but there's definitely something about it that I do certainly enjoy.
Right.
And particularly Josh Homme, I think he just sort of... Yes, I said it before, he's got this sort of a funny swagger when he plays, and he can hear it in his solos as well, and you can see it when he plays. That I don't know, drawn to it. It's just,
So is that bluesy kind of
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it always gets difficult for me to, when you really start getting into defining all that. And naturally, I'd say that that certainly would have been a massive influence from that. But they sort of, there's always like one or two notes that are just out, just off what you would expect to be, I think. Okay. You know, often you listen to music and you almost, without even playing music or, you know, you can just listen to it and you almost know the next note that's going to be played. And that's a funny thing about music. You don't actually have to have played it before to do that. It's like your brain knows where this next thing's going. And I think that's a really exciting thing is when you're listening to it and it doesn't go to that place that you're going to expect.
Bit of jazz.
Slightly stripped back from jazz. But I do like that. I like a good surprise. Right.
Have you ever listened to Rory Gallagher?
Yes, I have.
He'd probably be the most famous guitarist out of Ireland.
Right. Okay. So
blues. Yeah. Blues rock. Mm. Yeah. Legend. Yeah.
There's a few people out there that are just amazing at what they do. It's cool.
Yeah. He's he'd be someone revered now in Irish music.
Mm.
Kind of felt had no real drive to be anything but just a guitarist. You know, there was no ego there. I didn't really care about
did
much
else. Did he sing?
Yeah, okay.
Because I've definitely heard him. I think he'll be on my Spotify a bit.
Cool artist, And his brothers, he's still kind of releasing, there's still stuff coming out. His brother runs his estate or has, you know.
Right.
So there, you know, there's different albums come out. Newfound stuff, acoustic stuff.
I love how they can do that.
It's great. Because Thin Lizzy, I only played two Thin Lizzy there last week. And Thin Lizzy have released two acoustic albums.
Wow.
Just recently. Yeah, the acoustic versions. So there's still stuff coming out, you know, it's Phil Lynott singing away. You've got Eric Bell and Downey. Not Robert Downey. The drummer, just the three. And they've found all these recordings and they pieced them together. And
right.
It's cool to
hear
them.
They've got the same thing with, like Chris Cornell, Soundgarden stuff. Yeah. I think the same thing. They've got so many songs and behind the scenes that they're just,
Yeah. It's good. I mean,
it must be quite difficult. You obviously have, unless something's 100%, I don't know how you finish that without the people that are there I don't know how that part works. Yeah. Like when it comes to the recordings, you know, were they just, are they just draft recordings that don't sound very good that they can polish and suddenly they do? Yeah. I don't really understand how that quite works, but, you know, obviously these...
Computers. Very good. Right. Keep going. Well, the going is good.
Okay, well, yeah, this was a real tough one to go to which song I actually go to, but we'll go Miss Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel.
Ah, yeah.
The fifth one was real hard. I had another song that I was.
What was up? So you had a shortlist. Where did you start? 1,000. No, whittle it down.
I love the song and I'm a big fan of. There's a few songs from Simon and Garfunkel that I particularly love. The other song that I was going to pick up against it, we won't do. But for some reason, you know, when you just listen to a song and you become emotional, and it's almost like you don't even know why that is. It's tapping into something, man. And honestly, every time I listen to that song, I just, for some reason, it gets things moving. But we won't pick that song. We'll go.
What was it?
It's Elijah by Matthew and the Atlas.
I don't know that one.
Didn't think you would, which is another reason why I wanted to pick that as well.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to put these are going on a list because I want to listen to a few of these.
That's the thing. Like, it might not. I don't know. I just listen to the subjectivity song. For some reason, it just hits, I don't know why that is, but it does.
And this one hits for some other reason.
I think this is like good mood, happy days, going to be a good day type of song.
Paul Simon, genius.
Yeah, just brilliant.
Yeah. Timeless. Some of his stuff, you can go back and listen to it there and it just doesn't age.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's nice to listen to something and just have fun when you listen to it. Mm. And there's a few of their songs in particular just fun.
They're light. They have it all, I suppose, but I know what you mean, that there's a lightness to them.
Exactly. It's not too heavy. It's not too this and that, but you can listen to it, sing to it, and, slide around the kitchen and dance. Mm. So I think it's good.
Let's get Mrs. Robinson on then. Simon and Garfunkel. And this is Ruben's fifth choice. Am I right?
Bags are packed. Yeah, this is fifth.
Shit, the bags. You're going to have to sit on that suitcase. Get it closed. We'll be back after this. And while we're listening to this, you can pick a book and another luxury item.
Done.
Like we'll get to that. And you've just under 4 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Strong one to finish on.
I like it.
Yeah. Timeless.
I mean, that's sort of probably my first morning on the island. I'm probably going to put that on.
Right.
You know, I sort of get up and about, stretch my legs. How big's the island, by the way? How big are we talking?
Big enough to swing your guitar.
Yeah, that's good. That's my one luxury item.
And a book?
Yeah, are you gonna bring one? A tough one, man. Like, I always go through, I've got like 6 or 7 different books on the go, and I've only recently started reading fiction.
Okay.
I'm always non-fiction, which is like fun, interesting, whatever, but I have just started reading Dune, so I would probably say that's going to be the book that I'm going to have to take, because I mean, most of the other stuff involves other people, and if I'm on this island on my own, I don't know if I really need to read about these other people, so you know. Something to allow my mind to escape for a wee while.
Okay. Which will be important.
Yeah, it would be, I think. Yeah. You know?
So you've gone there, you've got your 5 tracks,
mm-hmm.
you've been listening to them. You've nodded off. The tide is coming in. You can only rescue one of them. Which one are you going to rescue?
I'm assuming that my luxury item comes with me anyways, right? That's null and void. So there's just one song.
You've left the luxury item up against the palm tree. So perfect. The tide doesn't come in that high.
Okay, that's great.
But there's a risk. Your suitcase is on the verge of submerging. Yeah. So you can pull one disc out. What are you going to take out?
It's going to have to be Neil Young. That's fair. Just because that's what started it all, I think. I don't know. There's something special about that. Okay. And it'll always be special. So I can't let that one go.
Cool.
Plus, right. Queens of the Stone Age, they've got heaps of good music I like. So when I get back, I'll be...
When you shape a boat out of that guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, yeah, that'd be really hard.
Yeah, yeah. You might just stay there.
Emotionally to do that.
Very good. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Some good tunes. And I think we should play out with the Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, do that.
I mean, it's new to me. When you see the lineup, we're not going to go too far wrong. Crooked Vultures.
Let me have a wee look.
Have a choice and we'll have that to play us out. But thanks very much for coming in. I've enjoyed the selection. I've enjoyed the backstories even more. Fair play for putting, like we spoke about this, it's not an easy task to pick five songs.
It's a lot harder to come in here
and justify them. Like,
yeah, totally. Right, you know what I mean? Like Old Man Come Up With easily. And then outside of that, like, can be very difficult to, you know.
It's an interesting thing to sit on, isn't it?
Yeah.
To chew through.
Yeah, it's funny because it, like you say, you know, like it changes what your mood's into, changes how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different aspects to it that makes it really difficult to say, well, I'll take these five. And then when you've had that,
like we said, we were speaking while the music was playing, when you have that luxury of going into Napster or even Spotify as it is today and just be able to listen to absolutely everything and anything.
Mm.
Whereas once upon a time you go into United Video and you've got a fiver and you need to pick three DVDs or three CDs. They're two ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Where you have those confines. And they're both good, but...
They both are good. But you just, A, you have like option paralysis.
Yes,
and then B, you're just like, it's so easy to jump ship. So you can't, you know.
You have to commit. When you bought a CD once upon a time, you committed to the 12 songs or 14
songs. I think that it's too easy to be non-committal. Yeah. So then, you know, you don't buy into what it is that you're, you know.
You don't wear the CD thin by listening to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Things have changed, haven't they?
They have changed, you know. I want to go back to buying DVDs.
Yeah.
Not really, though. That's the thing.
I got sucked into it. I got that. Is it a disease? It's almost a disease buying DVDs.
it's tough, man.
Now
let's go.
Right, what are we going to? We're going to play. This is going to play us out. Shivers. This has been Clare Island Cassettes.
We'll go Newfang.
Newfang.
Yeah, I mean, I love all that. It's very cool.
Right, this has been an episode of Clare Island Cassettes. We will have it up on Fresh FM. It'll be on the other streaming platforms. And if you're in town and you can play some music and you want to play some more, pop down to Studio 7010. And have a chat with Ruben. The more the merrier.
Bring it on. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was good.
Newfang!
just listened to an episode of Clare Island Cassettes with me, Kieran, the newest, most original show on Fresh FM. This show was brought to you by TOTM Productions. If you enjoyed it and think you might even enjoy more of them, they can be found on Fresh FM's website. They're also on YouTube and every place else you gorge on your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next time on The Pier at Runa.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.